This is the Labor Exchange on KGNU, Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins. I'm your host, Josette Jaramillo, president of the Colorado AFL-CIO and AFSCME Local 1335. I'm also a social worker for Pueblo County Department of Human Services. On tonight's episode, we have a very special guest, President Liz Schuler of the National AFL-CIO, the largest labor federation in the United States with 12.5 million members across 57 affiliate unions. Hi, President Schuler, and thank you so much for being here.
Hi, Josette. I'm so glad to be on the show with you, and thank you so much for your leadership, and hello to all the working people of Colorado.
Yeah, we're really excited to have you here. We're recording this episode for May Day, and I know you are traveling out and about. I believe you're on the West Coast right now. Do you want to tell folks what you're doing on the West Coast right now?
Absolutely. I'm in San Francisco. I'm at a power summit for women that's sponsored by the IWPR. It's the Policy Research Center for Women. And we are talking about collective bargaining as a tool for empowering women and how important unions are to close pay gaps and make sure that women have good jobs and health insurance and protection from discrimination and harassment. And we know that unions are the best way to do that. So it's been an incredible opportunity and an incredible community of women.
I love that. I think that feeds right into the first question that I have for you. And the first question I have for you is, how do we get more women and less represented groups active in the labor movement and in the trades?
Well, absolutely. I don't know about you, Josette. We are seeing activism all around us, and workers are rising up. They're fed up. They're fired up. They're not going to take it anymore, and they're walking off the job. They're standing up and going on strike. And, you know, it's just this, been this incredible wave of activism all around us. And so I think, you know, people are seeing unions in a different way more than ever before. And in particular, women and people of color who've traditionally, you know, in communities surrounding, you know, maybe union dense areas that haven't seen themselves in the labor movement as much. And we think now is the opportunity to open our doors even wider, particularly with the investments coming from the American Rescue Plan and the infrastructure bill that's going to be implemented, that we have an opportunity to, you know, show that communities that have traditionally not been engaged in the union job sector, that this is the time, this is the moment to actually join the labor movement, but get access to those high quality, high wage, highly skilled jobs that we know are going to make the difference for working families.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's fantastic. And like I said, totally feeds into what you're doing right now as we record this. Last week, I sat in on a panel of labor women and labor women leaders. It was myself from the Colorado AFL-CIO. It was Hillary Glasgow from our State Workers Union Colorado Wins. It was Amy Baca Olert, who is the president of the Colorado Education Association. And then it was Kim Cordova, who is the president of the United Food and Commercial Workers. So like the largest labor organizations were represented and all led by women. So it was a really cool time to be on a panel with those dynamic leaders. And we had a lot of fun with it. We coordinated, you know, I don't know if we coordinated outfits, but we all said we're going to wear our union t-shirts. So we had a lot of fun with it. And, you know, we're all friends. And it is a really cool time in the labor movement for women and people of color.
And people don't realize that the labor movement is the largest organization of working women in the country. And people often don't see us that way. And I think we need to raise awareness that the labor movement is a movement for women.
Absolutely. And I think that's fantastic. I love that you've been doing work to kind of get that out there. And part of it is just, you know, you being who you are and being in the position that you are, but you also speak a lot to that. And you also talk a lot about, you know, women stepping up to leadership positions, young workers stepping into leadership positions. You know, I know, 15 years ago, you and I were working on young worker issues and talking about, you know, next up. So I know that's been, you know, at the forefront of the conversations you have for many, many years.
Oh, absolutely. And that's how you and I first crossed paths when we were building Next Up, which is was the young worker program in the AFL-CIO, which now has, you know, 1,000 flowers have bloomed, where we have at the state and local level young worker groups, very dynamic centers of gravity for young worker activism. Within our affiliated unions, we have individual union programs that are engaging and mobilizing young people within the movement. And, you know, young people have been bearing the brunt of the broken economy, these systems that we know haven't been working for working people for some time. And young people have, you know, faced dismal job prospects, a lack of security, you know, this gig employment model that has been taking hold in a lot of sectors of the economy that we know is a dead end future. And so we as the labor movement need to focus on how can we mobilize and engage more young people in our movement so that their voices are heard and show them that the labor movement is the place to make change. And so I think that's exactly what inspired your activism, right, Josette?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I remember being a very young 23-year-old who started in my first union job. And I guess the rest is history from there. So let's pivot and talk about the Great Resignation.
Yeah, I think the Great Resignation is so interesting. You know, there's many names for it. I think people are calling it the Big Quit, the Great Reshuffling. I mean, the point here is that there's a lot of churn in the labor market, and there have been reports month after month of upwards of 4 million people per month quitting their jobs. And, you know, we wanted to get underneath that. We in the labor movement, we should have our finger on the pulse of what workers are thinking, how they're feeling, what's driving them. So we just did a survey of 10,000 working people last month. We released the results, and it was both surprising and unsurprising. I mean, of course, the pandemic was driving a lot of this. Low pay, insecure hours, things like that, which we could predict. But what was surprising was that the bulk of the respondents said that the, quote, workplace culture issues were what drove them to quit. Things like toxic environments, burnout, bad bosses, bad customers, bad coworkers, the so-called intangibles that often we as a labor movement don't talk enough about, frankly. We always lead with, you're going to have better wages and better benefits if you join a union, but you're also going to be able to have more control over your lives. And that collective bargaining and collective action, unions are a way to address those, you know, workplace culture issues that people sometimes feel powerless to control. Scheduling is another one that came up frequently, which I know you've been hearing a lot about too in your work, that people want to have more certainty. They want to be able to plan their lives. And that yet again, that we can come together as activists and come together collectively to make that change through our unions. And so I think it's a lesson learned that we in the labor movement can talk more about those issues and make them front and center. And sometimes we often forget because we take for granted in a union environment that, you know, we can speak out on some of those things and we can take action and not fear reprisal from the employer. But often people who aren't in unions, you know, feel somewhat powerless. And so finally, people are saying, hey, unions can be the path forward here. And as you know, the Gallup poll recently, I think it was 68% of the public is approving of unions. That's a 50-year high. And 77% of young people see unions and collective action as the solution. So now is truly a moment. And with this Great Resignation, we want to turn it into the Great Reawakening. We think, you know, people are fed up, they've had enough, and they finally are seeing unions as the path forward.
Yeah, I love that. I think, you know, when you were talking about, you know, just the work environment, I think of, you know, my own collective bargaining agreement and the things that we have negotiated that just seem really simple, but mean so much to workers. Like, you know, fair hiring practices and, you know, what is the avenue to raise complaints and labor management committees and all of those stuff that really is, you know, the potatoes to the meat of our collective bargaining agreements. And yeah, we do that. There is power in organizing and coming together collectively to talk about some of those issues that, you know, they're not wage issues, they're not pocketbook issues, but they really do make so much difference when you're looking at just being happy at work, and maybe not even happy, like just being content at work. Those really are big issues.
Absolutely. And, you know, just that baseline issue of respect. And yet again, we know that in the labor movement, that's what we do. That's why unions are so powerful, that you have a way with the law behind you, with an actual collective agreement with your employer that gives you a system that you can really make progress in the workplace.
So part of like this great resignation and then great resurgence that we're having right now in this moment, there's a few things that we need to move forward collectively for workers. So let's talk a little bit about the upcoming election, as well as national priorities like the Workers First agenda and the PRO Act.
Absolutely. And, you know, we've been fighting for the PRO Act for some time. As you know, the labor laws in this country are badly broken, and it takes an act of absolute courage and bravery to stand up and come together with your coworkers and form a union, because the scales are tipped so far in the balance to the direction of the corporations. And so what we are trying to do with the PRO Act is rebalance the scales in favor of workers, so that you should be able to come together collectively and form a union without fear, without being intimidated and harassed and sometimes fired, right? So the PRO Act has been making its way through Congress, of course, past the House, is pending action in the Senate. The administration, President Biden, has said, send me the PRO Act. I will sign it immediately. So we've been putting pressure, as you know, you've been galvanizing support in Colorado. You know, those who have been in support, we should thank them. Those, you know, who have not committed, we need to continue to pressure them. But the idea here is that we have congressional action, of course, but we also have grassroots action. And where it matters most is at the grassroots level, where we can, you know, galvanize our communities, our coalition partners, our allies, union members, all coming together to chart a path forward for workers in a sustainable future where people can thrive. And the way we do that is by forming unions. And so passing the PRO Act would make it easier to form unions. But we're going to continue to, you know, keep our foot on the gas and advocate for that. We think we might be able to get a provision of the PRO Act on enforcement penalties, real penalties for companies who violate the law. If we could get that passed in reconciliation, it would be a game changer. It would be the biggest change to labor law since its inception. So, you know, as we know, we have big ambitions, but we want to also get results. And so we're going to continue to focus on that, getting that passed in reconciliation, and continue to press forward on the priorities that, you know, the Building a Better America agenda we've been putting forward, clean energy investments, investment in child tax credits and prescription drugs, universal pre-K. I mean, these are all issues that the labor movement's been fighting for in our Workers First agenda. And we have to keep pressuring our lawmakers. This is the moment between now and Memorial Day that they're going to decide what's going to make it across the finish line. And so we need to bring a worker voice and perspective to that debate, continue to make our voices heard. And certainly workers are watching, right? Our members are watching. And so we want to, as we head into November 2022 for the electoral cycle, we are taking an issues-based approach. And so these are the issues that we're defining and that we're going to hold people accountable to.
I love that, President Schuller. You were talking about the grassroots effort, and it kind of made me smile, because our retirees are some of the most tenacious people you will ever meet in your life. So when we're meeting with like some of these congressional candidates, the first question that they have is, where do you stand on the PRO Act? You know, here in Pueblo, Colorado, Betty Spinuzzi, I hope one day you get to meet her. She's incredible. She'll ask every single person who comes into like the House of Labor, where do you stand on the PRO Act? And if they have no idea what the PRO Act is, then she'll pull them aside and educate them about what that is and why they need to support it. So I really do like love this grassroots style of, you know, members and retirees and union leaders educating some of these candidates who are running for federal office about what we need as workers and really pushing for their support on those issues.
And I couldn't agree more. And thank you for mentioning our retirees, because they are our secret weapon. They are relentless. And so I think too, we have this opportunity for intergenerational mobilization and activism. And we are getting back to the basics. Our political plan for Labor 2022 is going to be centered on an issues-based approach and getting back to the one-on-one, face-to-face conversations that we know are so important to break through this era of misinformation, disinformation, where we're all in our algorithms on Facebook and, you know, people aren't talking to each other. So that's what we do best in the labor movement, is really getting back to the workplace and talking to each other in ways that really bring people back together. And that's around a local approach to the issues and not kind of thinking about polling and research at the national level and then having it sort of trickle down to the local level. It's the exact opposite, that we need to be hyper local in our approaches, identifying what issues are relevant to people on the ground, and then showing them and connecting the dots that mobilizing around those issues and connecting them to the candidates at the appropriate time is, you know, what really matters and is going to make an impact.
Absolutely. It's one of my favorite things to do, you know, in the break room, or I don't smoke anymore, but when I used to smoke, it was my favorite place to have those conversations, you know, out in the smoke shack at Department of Human Services, and like talking to workers about how local issues affect you and your pocketbook, because we're public workers and we're tax funded. So it was one of my favorite things. And it really is, like you said, back to basics, that organizing 101. How do you have a one-to-one conversation? And I taught some stewards trainings and stuff for our national union, and that was part of it. Like, how do you have a one-on-one conversation? And it really is so powerful and so impactful, because you really are kind of meeting people where they are. And like you said, helping them connect the dots.
Exactly. I look forward to working with you. I'm sure I'll be out in Colorado soon. So we'll put that into practice.
Yes, we can't wait. So, you know, you mentioned Colorado. I live in Pueblo, you know, home of the green chili. We see a lot of migrant workers and immigrants. Last year, we pushed really hard for the Farm Worker Bill of Rights, and that passed through our legislature. But let's talk for a minute about the historic role of immigrants in our labor movement. So what has been their historic role in our movement?
Well, I mean, I don't need to tell you that since our nation's founding, immigrants and refugees have really, you know, built this country. You know, they've enriched the fabric of our communities and our workforce and our labor movement. And I think the labor movement is the natural home, frankly, for new immigrants who are struggling to get there, to achieve that American dream, right? The economic security that they deserve. And we fight for social justice and fair immigration laws and, you know, are truly the voice for the immigrant community. And I think sometimes people don't link our labor movement to the immigrant rights movement as deeply as it should be. And we aren't necessarily seen that way, but we are. We're advocating for reform, and we have been fierce and unwavering in our position. And so whether it's, you know, temporary protected status designation for all eligible countries, whether it's protecting immigrant workers who want to take action and make their workplace safer, but are fearful that they'll be reported to ICE and deported. We are actually working with the Biden administration to achieve those reforms and bring the voice of immigrant workers to the forefront, and really looking through that worker lens on, you know, how do we build a sustainable economy for all working people? And we can't do that unless we have immigration reform that brings, you know, immigrant workers out of the shadows, out of this economy that corporations are, you know, exploiting workers. And, you know, we want a fair and level playing field for all working people in this country so that they can thrive and, you know, provide for their families.
Absolutely. I love, I cannot emphasize this enough. I love the work that is going on right now in Texas. I know, you know, Montserrat Garavé was leading a lot of that work and done lots of workshops and citizenship meetings, you know, led by labor to help, you know, their, I would say comadres, but, you know, to help their neighbors get their citizenship.
Absolutely. And the labor movement can be that center of gravity. Because it is connected to the workplace. This is up to all of us to come together as a labor movement and work together with our allies and community partners to create that system that's going to work for working people and particularly our immigrant communities. And so having citizenship clinics in union halls, and then people see that the labor movement is relevant to their working lives, and see us as warriors for justice, which is exactly what we do.
Absolutely. And it's so important, not only, you know, for our comadres or neighbors, but it's the right thing to do. I just am so proud of that work that's happening, you know, across the country. I mean, what I really see a lot on social media is what's happening in Texas. I think, you know, it's because they're in my little stratosphere. And, you know, I know Rick and Montserrat and now Leonard down there. So I've, you know, got to see a lot of what they're doing. And I think it's fantastic.
The model that we can all follow. And I think that's part of what we do as a federation is to capture those best practices, share innovative ideas and strategies so that we're learning from each other and able to replicate the successes at scale. And so I think whether you're in Colorado or Texas or, you know, in Florida, that we're all working together as one movement to lift up the voices of working people and leverage our power together.
Absolutely. The next question that I have for you, President Shaler, is something that I really enjoy listening to you talk about. I know how passionate you are about the labor movement, focusing on new technology and innovation. You know, we were talking about, you know, game designers and software designers. So how important is it that we as the labor movement focus on new technology and innovation?
Critically important. And thank you for raising it, Josette. I mean, this is the new frontier for the labor movement, primarily because work is changing. Coming out of this pandemic, it's hastened the implementation of technology. And we need to co-create that future. We need a worker perspective and voice at the table when we talk about things like artificial intelligence and algorithmic management and automation. We're seeing the platforming of work where not only for rideshare, but now we're seeing, you know, nurses, for example, they're talking about how you can dispatch nurses out using a platform like Uber. So this is a future that we have to create with a worker perspective and worker empowerment at the center. And I think the labor movement is squarely in the middle of defining that future. And we need to be proactive. We need to be fierce. we need to make sure that in all of those rooms where there are technology companies and, you know, lawmakers and universities developing the next generation of work, that we are at that table and we are defining it so it works for working people.
100%. You know, automation, I think for a lot of our trades folks is a scary word, but I think you hit the nail on the head when you're talking about our work is changing and our country is changing, our world is changing, and we need to be in the room so we understand it and we know how it's going to affect our folks on the ground.
Absolutely. And no better day to uplift the importance of working people's voices than May 1st, International Workers' Day, which is happening across the globe. And so I just wanted to say that, you know, this is our chance. This is our opportunity with so much worker activism happening around us, with organizing happening across sectors, whether you're at Amazon, whether you're a graduate research student in California, whether you're a games worker at Activision Blizzard or Twitter, you know, this is about workers coming together and redefining a sustainable future for everyone. And so it doesn't matter what industry you're from, you know, where you live. And it's just, you know, the moment for us to all come together as a powerful movement, lifting up workers' voices in new and creative and innovative ways. And so I'm just so excited about what lies ahead for the labor movement.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's going to lead right into our last question. So I listened to a podcast recently that you were on, and it was called The Argument. It was fantastic. So are we shifting resources to organizing, and are we getting back? And I know you mentioned this already. Are we getting back to basics? How are we doing that as a national movement?
Absolutely. And I was going to say, there is no argument about this. And so when I was on that podcast, I sort of felt like it really wasn't a point counterpoint, because we are all in a workers' movement and it takes many forms. Worker organizers in the workplace talking to each other, coming together in new and different ways is exactly what the labor movement is about. And so we want to continue with new ideas, new strategies, experiment and innovate and, you know, bring all working people into this movement. And so this is about investing in organizing, continuing to fight in the halls of power on Capitol Hill, continue to make sure our voices are heard at that collective bargaining table, and strike and walk off the job when necessary, but also be solutions driven and show that the labor movement, we are the experts on work. And so I'm just looking forward to a strong and vibrant future for all working people, and to grow the labor movement into a bold, dynamic, and inclusive movement that we know it can be.
Absolutely. And I love all of the work that's happening at the national right now. And what we're actually doing is we're building a longer table to include more workers. And it really is just fantastic to see. It is a great time to be a leader in the labor movement. I'm really proud of all the work that's happening, you know, not just locally, but also nationally. I think we are in the exact spot that we need to be right now.
Thank you so much, Josette. And thank you to the Colorado labor movement. You're amazing. Keep up the great work. And I'm so proud to fight alongside you and look forward to where we go from here.
Thank you so much for joining us today, President Schuller. Really excited and very honored to have you on the show.
Thank you so much. And happy International Workers' Day.
Yes, happy International Workers' Day. Our conversation today was with Liz Schuller, president of the AFL-CIO. I'm your host, Josette Jaramillo, president of the Colorado AFL-CIO and AFSCME 1335. Thank you for listening to The Labor Exchange, and have a great day.